This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring a discussion on Prime Minister's address at the Summit of the Future. The participants are Atul Aneja, strategic analyst, and Manas Pratim Bhuya, journalist.
Mr. Aneja, Prime Minister Narendra Modi joined many other world leaders at the Summit of the Futures at the United Nations in New York yesterday. The Prime Minister made several important points in his address, including on the need to give highest priority to a human-centric approach for a better future for the world. He talked about the need for prioritizing sustainable development, regulation for the safe and responsible use of technologies, etc. He touched upon many issues, but what drew most attention was his comments that success of humanity lies in our collective strength and not in the battlefield. The comments came amid the conflicts in various geographies around the world, including in Ukraine and Gaza. How do you see the Prime Minister's comments and what is their significance? Could you elaborate?
Manas, I wish to make three quick points. I think it was an anti-war address. You know, he was saying that winning end of peace, that is end of war and peace, with development, the two are co-linked. So unless you stop the wars, you know, then there is no space for development. And in order to do so, you need certain reforms to be made. And those are in the global system, specifically in the UN Security Council. He did not specifically talk about expansion of the UN Security Council and India's participation in it, but that was a subtext. When it comes to wars, if you club it with what he said to the diaspora, that India would be there to resolve all global conflicts now, that we are proactive and we are not going to maintain equal distance, that we are invested in global peace. And that dovetails with the Prime Minister's visit first to Russia before going to the UN meeting and to Ukraine. And again, his subsequent meeting, when you talk of bilateral meetings, one of his meetings was with President Zelensky of Ukraine on the sidelines. So, you know, this anti-war message was loud and clear, both in the meetings which he has held and the statement which he made yesterday. It was a brief one, but I think fully loaded statement. Because he twinned that with development. That you're not going to get development going if you're going to go in for wars. And there again, there was another message that any kind of development, given our challenges, implying challenges like food security, energy security, climate change, it cannot be done by any individual country anymore. And that brings me to your point that collective action is required to achieve that. So he was stringing together these loads of ideas, but I think the idea of peace, idea of development, and the idea of global reforms were also co-linked. And that seemed to be one part of the message. The other part I'll come to later as we go along.
Mr. Aneja, you have made very valid points about Prime Minister's call for peace and development. The second important point I think that the Prime Minister made was his call for reform of the global institutions. I think briefly you mentioned about it. In his address, Prime Minister Modi said for global peace and development, reforms in global institutions are essential. Very, very clear points.
Aur vaishvik shanti evam vikas ke liye global samsthaon mein reforms avashyak hai. Reform is the key to relevance. African Union ko Nayi Delhi Summit mein G20 ki sthayi sadasyata isi disha mein ek mahatvapurna kadam tha. वैश्विक शांति और सुरक्षा के लिए एक तरफ आतंकवाद जैसा बड़ा खतरा है तो दूसरी तरफ साइबर मैरिटाइम स्पेस जैसे अनेक संघर्ष के नए 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 मैदान भी बन रहे हैं इन सभी विषयों पर मैं जोर देकर कहूंगा कि ग्लोबल एक्शन मस्ट मैच global ambition.
The Prime Minister also cited permanent membership of the G20 to the African Union that was given at the New Delhi G20 summit last year. How do you see these comments? What is the significance of Prime Minister Modi's calls for reform of the global institutions when we have seen that these institutions, including United Nations Security Council, they are not being able to live up to the expectations of the people of the world.
Exactly, Manish, that's a point that he implied, that when it comes to peace and security, especially, that organization, global institutions, and that would essentially mean the UN and the UN Security Council, which is the core of the United Nations system, have virtually been dysfunctional. You know, we just discussed or tapped upon two major conflicts. One is in Ukraine, one is Gaza, where, frankly, the UN Security Council has been completely dysfunctional. So this is a new world which has arisen. And this is not the 1945 world when the UN system was sort of crafted and evolved in accordance to the challenges of those times. The challenges have changed. The world has changed from being a Western-driven world or a Cold War-driven world to a multipolar world, where the global South has become a very, very important element and a very important constituency. And it was in that reference that he mentions India's initiative at the G20 went out of a way to have 56 nations or so of the African Union becoming a part of the G20 process. So that particular element of that, the voice of the global South now needs to be heard in the corridors of power, in of global institutions, especially the UN Security Council. I think that subtext was very, very clear from the Prime Minister's address, because that is the key. You have a reformed UN system which addresses current problems, the current problems of peace and security, of ending wars, and then you open the pathway simultaneously for focused development, which has to be collective in nature and will not succeed if the world is not united. Actually, Manas, if you really think of it, it was also a statement against, you know, geopolitical rivalries, camps, you know, alliance formation, because it really resonates the Indian thought of Vasudeva Kutumbakam, that the world is one family, one earth, one future, which essentially means that the world has to come in a cooperative framework. And when you add the collective element of it, then that means then the camps have to demolish and the entire world has to come to its common agenda, which cannot be achieved unless we are all together in it. So I think there is another element here of ending these cleavages, these geopolitical rivalries. And India is setting an example to that, Manas, which is that, you know, we are not invested in any camp. We have a strategic autonomy and we engage with all. And if you look at Prime Minister's own recent foreign engagements, goes to the G7, more Western oriented. Then he goes to Russia, which is complete animosity with the West. And then you go to Russia's arch foe, which is Ukraine. So we are walking the talk. We are not getting into camp. We are engaging with everybody. And then he goes to the US and the first meeting is with the Quad and with President Biden. So that is the messaging which is going. No camps. All of us have to get together, find common ground to address this massive challenges, whether it's in the economy, whether it is in the health system, food security, energy security, or the transitioning into the digital economy and advanced economies. So I think it's a very comprehensive message, Manas, which went out yesterday and in other meetings in the US. And of course, preceding that, the Prime Minister's own engagements with various constituencies or with groups which were actually at loggerheads with each other, but where India showed the way that you can engage everyone and try and find common pathway, which is for human-centric development.
You made some very important points, Mr. Aneja. But in a larger context, in fact, if you see last 2 months, in July, the Prime Minister travels to Moscow and then he held extensive talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin on ways to end the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Then on August 23rd, he paid a very historic visit to Kyiv, where he held extensive discussions with Ukrainian President Zelensky on how to just find a peaceful solution to the Ukraine conflict. Now he goes to US, he holds talks with President Biden, and both of them discuss the overall situation in Ukraine. And now the Prime Minister made a very, very crucial address at the Summit of the Futures at the UN, where he talked about the need for peace and collective development approach. And he says that, in fact, humanity lies in our collective strength, not in the battlefield. And if you remember, Foreign Secretary Vikram Misri, after Prime Minister Modi's talks with U.S. President Joe Biden, when he was asked about, is India putting forward any peace proposal or is India making any concrete proposal to bring peace to Ukraine? The Foreign Secretary did not directly give any specific answer, but he said that important discussions are underway with key stakeholders. And he did not elaborate. So if you join the dots, then what picture you see actually? I mean, what kind of role India is probably playing to defuse the crisis and to bring peace to Ukraine?
Manish, if you look at the bigger picture, I think India is making a fundamental shift in its foreign policy. You know, there was a time when we were looking inward into our own development and not really taking initiatives of a global nature. But that has changed. And I think this policy shift, you can trace it to the G20 summit, which took place in November 2023. And that's where India's sort of made a statement, and Prime Minister in the lead, that we will be a bridge between the North and the South and the East and the West, and we will be the voice of the Global South. So you have certainly shifted the foreign policy posture from an introvert to a very extrovert posture. And that particular shift, which was evident during the G20 summit, Manish, now you see the amplification of that in the visits of the Prime Minister, first to Russia and then Ukraine, and now to the US. So, you know, we are playing on the front foot. Plus, on the diaspora address in New York, the Prime Minister made it very clear that India will be part of any attempt or any initiative to global peace. India will be there for any kind of global innovation. India will be there for lifting the global economy. So you see that now the stage is big and it's very clear that we have now in the global stage. And frankly, this is driven to our own interests of peace and security, because our own development, which is what? Which is Viksit Bharat, which is 2047, India becomes a developed country. If it cannot be achieved, if there is no global peace. So, you know, we are growing as a nation, but in the growth of the nation, there are new demands which are coming. And these demands are no longer local or regional. These are global. And that is where this particular shift to be an active peacemaker, to play that role, maybe as a mediator at some point in time, or at least be a participant in major conversations on peace and security. If tomorrow, if there is a conference, let's say, you know, remember the Afghanistan, there was a Berlin conference after 2001, etc. Now, if there is going to be something like that on Ukraine, I think we have put our foot in the door that we have to be part of that conversation. And without India, it cannot go through. And that's the reason why you have the second meeting with the President Zelensky. And I would not be surprised if another meeting takes place with the Russians on this, maybe not immediately at the Prime Minister level, but at a very important level. I suspect that would take place. And then, Manas, India goes and Prime Minister visits Kazan, which is a BRICS summit hosted by Russia, where there's bound to be that conversation between Prime Minister Modi and President Putin. So we are playing on the global stage now, and we are not choosing side. As I said, Prime Minister said this is not an era of war. I think he's also making another statement that this is not an era of narrow geopolitics, that this is a time when collectively you have to come together. Your problems are so huge. After COVID, we got so badly exposed that unless we come to, you know, and then what he also said in his speech yesterday, unless we get into a global health protocol, into a global energy grid, is food security, climate change, you know, these kind of challenges, you can't do it alone. So the end of geopolitics and a new phase of discourse in the global system, I think that is a major subtext of what the Prime Minister said yesterday and through his own engagements over the past few months after the elections took place.
Thank you, Mr. Anandja, for giving a detailed perspective on Prime Minister Narendra Modi's address at the Summit of the Futures at the United Nations in New York yesterday, as well as his other engagements in the U.S. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Manish.
You were listening to a discussion on Prime Minister's address at the Summit of the Future. The participants were Atul Anandja, strategic analyst, and Manas Pratim Bhuya, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on a mobile app, News on EIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on EIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.